the dean of a school who was known to be a person of complete integrity, loved people, unselfish. One day in a faculty meeting, an angel showed up right in the middle of the meeting and turned to the dean and said, "Because of how you've chosen to live your life, I'm going to give you an option of three wishes. You can only pick one: infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty." Immediately, the dean said, "Wisdom." And the angel said, "So be it," and went poof and was gone. Now all the faculty are looking at the dean, waiting for him to say something. Finally, the closest one to him says, "Say something." He says, "I should have taken the money." Oh, to have the wisdom of Solomon. Let's pray. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days carefully, so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts." God, help us to seek you with every part of our being. We know you have a plan for each of our lives, and so we want you to speak into our lives, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. Where you lead is where we want to follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Job 28. You might remember, I wanted your New Year's resolution to be read the book of Job. So now we're in the book of Job again for all of June. This will be the last five messages in the book of Job. So today will be Job 28. My thought of having you read ahead is so things will become a little more familiar to you when we get to the text. So today's is Job 28, 1 to 28. I'm going to read it to you. "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold to be refined. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Miners put an end to the darkness and search out the furthest bound, the ore in gloom and deep darkness. They open shafts in a valley where the human habitation, they are forgotten by travelers. They sway suspended remote from people. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, its dust contains gold. The path no bird of prey knows, the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud wild animals have not touched it, the lion has not passed over it. They put their hand to the flinty rock and overturn mountains by the roots. They cut out channels in the rocks and their eyes see every precious thing. The source of the rivers they probe, hidden things they bring to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it, and it's not found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It's not in me.' The sea says, 'It's not with me.' It cannot be gotten for gold or silver, cannot be weighed out as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. Not to mention, shall be made of coral or crystal, the price of wisdom is above pearls. The crystallite of Cush cannot compare with it, nor can it be valued with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where is the place of understanding? It's hidden from the eyes of all the living, concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and Death say, 'We have heard a rumor of it with our ears.' God understands the way to it. He knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain, a way for the thunderbolt, then he saw it, declared it, he established it and searched it out, and he said to humankind, 'Truly the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding.'" As mentioned previously, the book of Job falls under the category of the wisdom literature in the Bible, along with the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. When you hear the word wisdom, what comes to mind for you? The Oxford Dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to make sensible decisions and give good advice because of experience and knowledge. Are you wise? Do you know someone who's wise? In Proverbs 20:13, it says, Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. So if you don't have any wise friends, it might be worth finding some. I read an article on AI, artificial intelligence, recently, where a university professor said it's getting harder and harder to be able to identify a real article from a false one on the internet. My brother-in-law, who's also a professor in Purdue, he said he doesn't use essays for assignments unless it's in a test in the classroom, because so many students are tempted to let AI help them write their papers. Last summer, I was with another brother-in-law who's a teacher in BC. We both had one of our sons with us, and so the four of us tried to use AI chat to tell us how to rob a bank. It took us a few tries, but we were successful. I don't think that's why they made AI chat, to teach people to rob banks, but the information is there. It seems like we need wisdom to help us discern between truth and error more than ever. And so fortunately, the book of Job is designed to do just that. Job chapter 28, our main character Job is going through unimaginable suffering and loss and speaks to us about what true wisdom is. The chapter is broken up into three parts. The first section, verse 1 to 11, is all about treasure hunting. Have you ever gone treasure hunting? When I was in elementary school, a friend of mine split a rock open. I don't think splitting rocks open was a supervised event at our school, but something we were doing as we waited for the bus. He actually found a fossil of a plant in the rock. That was a pretty neat experience for a grade schooler. When I was in my early 20s, I was living in Vancouver, and I went to a small church that I was attending for some nighttime event in the dark, and on the ground, I found a diamond ring. If you're wondering what it looked like, just ask Carrie to show you her ring. Actually, what happened was there was a young couple who were hanging out there and had recently been engaged and lost the ring. And when they came looking for it, I gave it to them. So in Job 28, 1 to 11, we're going mining for precious stones and minerals. Verse 1 and 2, surely there's a mine for silver and a place for gold to be refined. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from ore. The whole concept of mining has been happening for thousands and thousands of years, long before we had fancy names like mining engineer. God in his wonderful imagination created all these incredible minerals for our use, and somehow humanity has stumbled upon it. Verse 3 and 4, miners put an end to the darkness, shining light into the darkness, and search out to the fullest bound the ore and gloom in deep darkness. They open a shaft in the valley away from human habitation. They're forgotten by travelers. They sway suspended by ropes remote from people. It's crazy to think that people were able to mine without having the incredible technology that we have today. So down the ropes, people went into crevices looking for what was hidden to most everyone else. I don't think safety first was their motto. Verse 5 and 6, for as the earth, out of it comes bread, above ground, people plant crops, but underneath it's turned up by fire. Some of these metals are formed by pressure, like diamonds from coal, or being refined and purified through fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires. Its dust contains gold. Who knew that there were all these treasures under our feet, hidden in the depths of the earth? Verse 7 and 8, the path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye is not seen. The birds of prey, like eagles and hawks, usually have incredible eyesight, but everything underground is hidden from them. The proud wild animals have not trodden on it. The lion has not passed over it. Treasures beneath their paws or feet, but they do not encounter them. Finally, in Job 28, 9 to 11, they put their hand to the flinty rock and overturn mountains from the roots. So how they get to the core of the mountain to do their business? They cut out channels in the rock. Their eyes see every precious thing in contrast to the birds of prey that is hidden from. The source of the water they probe, hidden things they bring to light. This is difficult work. Has anyone here tried to pan for gold? Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's very time consuming. It's hard to break even. The second section, Job 28, 12 to 19. There's even something more precious than diamonds and rubies. It is difficult to find and almost completely inaccessible. Have you guessed what it is? It's wisdom. Verse 12 and 13, but where shall we find wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it. It is not found in the land of the living. One of the biggest questions people have is, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is our purpose? If it isn't obvious by now, we will not answer these questions within ourselves. These questions will only be answered outside of us. Verse 14, 15. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold or silver. It cannot be weighed out as a price. Wisdom is something that cannot be bought like silver and gold. Possessions do not guarantee wisdom. Many of our worldly stars in Hollywood, in the movie industry, in Nashville, in the music business, and professional athletes making insane amounts of money, but it does not guarantee their happiness or even their security from going bankrupt. Verse 16, 17, it cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass, crystal, cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels or fine gold. The gold from Ophir, probably somewhere in Africa, was considered the finest gold on earth. Proverbs 16, 16. It's better to get wisdom than gold, and to choose understanding rather than silver. There are always ways to get more gold, but wisdom is in short supply. Verse 18, 19. No mention should be made of coral or crystal, the price of wisdom above pearls. The crystallite, a yellowish-green gem of Kush, Egypt, cannot compare with it, nor can it be valued with pure gold. Some of the greatest ingenuity allowed these precious stones to be harvested from the heart of the earth, but none can compare with the value of wisdom. So if you can't get wisdom from blood, sweat, and tears, how can you obtain it? The third section, Job 28, 20 to 28. True wisdom comes from outside of us. So where can it be found? It is found in the one who has created us. Verses 20, 21. Where then does wisdom come from? Where is the place of its understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the air. Sometimes we think if we look at this problem from a different angle, it'll make more sense to us. We gather as much information as we can, but even from a bird's eye view, it remains an unsolved puzzle. Verse 22, 23, Abaddon, destruction, and death say, we've heard a rumor of it with our ears. God understands the way to it. He knows its place. Rumors, folk tales, legends, stories, that's all death and destruction have ever heard about wisdom. But there's one who understands where it can be found. It is God and God alone. He knows where it can be found. Verses 24 to 26. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave the wind its weight and apportioned out and measured the waters. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the thunderbolt. Have you ever tried to gather the wind in your hands to try and direct it which way it should go? Have you ever watched the power of a lightning storm? One time when we were in Revelstoke, BC, I saw a lightning bolt hit the side of a mountain and it instantly created a fire. Do you control when the sun shines or when it's going to rain? You know who does? God does. The last two verses, 27, 28. And then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to humankind, truly, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. God is the one who created all things and put them in their right place. The Lord is the author of everything we see and everything we don't see. So if you want to be wise, revere or give honor to God. Stay close to Him because He is the source of all wisdom. And at the same time, get as far away as you can from evil, as it's the opposite of wisdom. A father and a son were walking some distance on a country road. And the little boy asked his dad, he said, "Dad, how does electricity go through the wires stretched between the telephone poles?" And the father said, "I don't know. I never knew much about electricity." A few roads later, the boy says, "Dad, what caused lightning and thunder?" And the dad said, "That puzzles me too." As they kept walking, he kept asking questions, and the dad kept responding the same way. Finally, as they were nearing home, the boy said, "Dad, I hope you don't mind that I asked you all these questions." "Not at all," replied the father. "If you don't ask, how are you going to learn anything?" Job chapter 28. It's actually a hymn or a song about wisdom. Songs are sometimes helpful in reminding us about God's truth, about Himself, and the kind of relationship He wants to have with His creation. That's us. Songs like "Our God is an Awesome God" by Rich Mullins. Lyrics: "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." It speaks about what we know to be true about God, just like our passage today in Job 28. How did Solomon become the wisest king to ever have lived? He became king around 21 years old and honored God with all of his heart. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God visits Solomon in a dream. And God asks Solomon for whatever he wants. Could you imagine if God gave you that offer? What would you ask for? Riches? A long life? A humiliation of your enemies? What Solomon asked for is wisdom. He's in his early 20s and now king of the most powerful nation in the world. And he fully recognizes he's way in over his head, and so he humbles himself. God is so impressed with King Solomon's servant heart, He promises not only to give him wisdom, but everything else he didn't ask for: riches, a long life, victory over enemies. If God is the source of all wisdom, how do you, how do I obtain this treasure that's harder to find than precious metals in the base of a mountain? Proverbs 9:10 answers our question. The fear of the Lord is the foundation or the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. We humble ourselves before God and recognize our deep need for His help, and He hears us. He loves answering these kind of prayers. Just like a child asking their mom or their dad for physical food, God wants to give us spiritual food, which will lead to wisdom. I've been meditating on Psalm 25:14, which says, "The Lord confides in those who fear Him." That sounds crazy. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. What God's saying is, Ron, James, Terry, that as you seek Him, He's going to share things with you that He may not share with anyone else. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. If you want to know what the will of God is, if you want to know what God is doing in a situation, seek Him. If we recognize all that we have is from our good God, it leads us to honor Him, respect His ways, and worship Him. He will confide in us like friends do with each other. Wouldn't you like the God of the universe to speak deep things to your heart? I know I do. We live in an instant society that wants everything quick and microwaved. How many people have friendships that are a decade old, or 20 years old, or 30 years old, or over 40 years old? Did those friendships happen quickly? These friendships were decades in the making. That is what makes them so rich. They've lasted the test of time. This is the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. And it can start today if we humble ourselves and invite Him to begin giving us His wisdom, learning God's way of doing life. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you've made us in your image and have placed great value on each of our lives. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." God has not lost us. Rather, He wants to move closer to us if we'll let Him. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with yourself. Lead us to a closer walk with you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Again, just who I am, because I need to know.
We're going to share communion this morning. I'm just going to give you a little bit of instruction of how we do it. At some point, I'll invite you up, and there'll be the cup and the bread. There's also gluten-free bread. There's two different stations, so you can go either side. Then when you sit, we'll partake of it together. This morning, we'll focus on the unity we have in Christ. This symbolic meal that we'll participate in together, we do together. The scriptures that are written to us, most of us who read the Bible either daily or in our week, they were actually written to communities. We read things as individuals, but the church and the scriptures were always meant to be done within community. It's kind of like, I don't know if any of you are hockey fans, but if you're Edmonton Oilers hockey fans, has anybody gone downtown when they're playing these games and watched them on the big screen? Oh, there we go. I see one hand. All I have to say is don't take your wallet with you or anything valuable. But there are thousands of people that are gathered outside, and I guess the arena's full too, that are watching this game. So when everybody at home have these 75-inch screen TVs, why do they go downtown Edmonton to pay for parking and get mugged to watch this hockey game? It's because they want to do it together. And the wonderful thing about a relationship with God and a relationship with each other is that we get to do this together. So as you come this morning, think about being in community, being in relationship, and the friendships that we have with each other, and that's all come because of a relationship with Jesus. So I invite you to come, take the bread, take the juice, and then you can sit down, and then I'll tell you when, instruct you when we partake.
Thank you.
The Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Let's partake of the bread together." We thank you, Jesus, that you're our bread of life, that everything that we need for every day is found in you. And so we want to seek you and we want to find you with all of our hearts. Amen. In the same way, Jesus takes the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death." And we say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood that has given us life and hope and wholeness and everything that we need. You are the source of our spiritual life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder, your cups that you have, there's baskets at the entrance that you can put the baskets in. We're now going to do the benevolent offering that we do once a month. A couple announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. So this last week, I knew Moira was going to be in Fort Mac this weekend, so I told her the story about the ring, about finding the ring and saying, it's Carrie's wedding ring, and she goes, "You didn't! You would do that!" She said, I was just like, "Oh my word, I hope I have a little bit better reputation than that." So you can check Carrie's ring out if you want to. Just a couple of reminders. One is the picnic's going to be in a couple of weeks. And this is just a great event to invite friends to. And so, again, put your name and how many people are going to come with you. We'll supply the buns and hamburgers and hot dogs and pop and water and all that stuff. And we just ask people to bring a dessert or a, what's that other thing, that green stuff? A salad. That's right. So either of those two things. Other things that are happening, just be praying for Summer Jam. There are people in our church that are struggling health-wise. You see that in the newsletter that are sent out every week. We just encourage you to be praying for them. God is good to us in so many ways, and it's in trusting in him and holding on his hand that we sometimes, there's no other way to make it through. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that those who seek him will truly find him. Amen.
Please stand as we close our service together.